everyone. So this morning we'll continue discussing the six corresponding events. We have a limited time. It's 9:20, and we're going to finish up by 10 past 10. Okay. 10. 10 past 10 is okay. Okay, so yeah, we'll discuss a few things, and then what we'll do is Ian Pru is here, we'll bring Haribo. For the last 20 minutes of the session, he'll kind of interrogate me, but he'll facilitate a conversation, and then he'll kind of factor in all of you. So whatever questions you have, just put your hands up, he'll deal with them, and apparently there was a request for a facility for anonymous questions. So I don't know if that's possible. If anyone who has a question they may not want to ask, can WhatsApp it to someone, if possible.
Whose number do they WhatsApp? Maybe next session.
We'll hand out sheets of paper.
Okay, you do the paper. Okay, great. So yeah, as mentioned yesterday, please be free. It's great to get your input because then we can go a little further with this. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, as we talked about yesterday, gave us a whole other world to live in. They created a mission, not just a mission, they created a home, a house in which the whole world could live. And today we're going to begin to understand what is that world that they gave us to live in, and what does it mean to live in that world. But what I'm going to do first is I'm going to ask all of you a question. Just for 1 minute, you can say your answer to the person next to you. What do you think is the biggest lie in the world? The lie that the most people accept, that the most people are bewildered by, that most people accept sometimes without even questioning. What do you think, from your observation, the biggest lie in the world is? Well, no one's saying COVID. If you genuinely feel that's not surprising. Okay, 1 minute. Just tell the person next to you, from your understanding.
Is that everything?
Lots and lots of lies. From the lady's side, please someone share, either your own or someone. Something someone said to you.
When someone asks you, how are you doing?
Okay, so when someone asks you, how are you doing? You say, I'm A-okay, but something else going on. Yeah, thank you. What did your voice say? Yeah, mother.
I am the body.
I am the body. Wow. I'm the enjoyer and I'm the controller. This is like an auction, Okay, over to you, go higher bid. Yeah.
Life ends after death.
Life ends after death. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. It's a one life game and then just end of the story. Anyone else got a burning light? Okay, there. Harsh. Yes.
That's
sort
of
I think we'll end on that because that's the answer. But all of you are right. The biggest lie in the world is that material achievements, material success, material objects, material relationships, material situations, material arrangements will make you happy. And if you look at every other another lie that's there in the world, it's a lie which is meant to facilitate this lie.
Isn't it?
Even if COVID is a conspiracy, it's a lie, a big hoax. Why is it? Because someone wants to control and enjoy the world. And why do they want to control and enjoy the world? Because they think material things will make them happy. 9/11, was it true? Was it the American government? Or was it actually terrorists from the Middle East? Whatever it may be, behind it all is the bigger lie that material things will make you happy. Everyone in this world is looking for rasa. Rasa is a Sanskrit word which is very difficult to translate. Taste, flavor, relationship, juice, these are some of the words that are used to describe rasa. When you look at the word rasa, it can also, in urban terms, look like ras. That's a different word. Different, not exactly. But you know, when someone would say that, it gives you a sense of what rasa means. Yeah? Rasa means something which is really capturing your imagination, something which is giving you some immediate pleasure, gratification. Rasa makes the world go round. Everyone is looking for rasa. It doesn't matter who you are, and where you are, and what you're doing. Everyone is looking for rasa. And Rupa Goswami, in the beginning of his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains that there are two broad ways in which people look for rasa. He explains there is the material arrangements that one may make in order to experience rasa. And the rasa you get from material arrangements is material rasa. And he says that type of rasa is chapala sukha. Chapala means, nothing to do with shoes. Chapala means flickering, always flickering. And sukha means some pleasure or happiness. Flickering happiness, a rasa that just gives you something for some time, but then disappears. And then he contrasts this rasa with bhakti rasa. And he says, bhakti rasa is amrit. Mrita means death, and amrit means no death, deathless, eternal, unending, unceasing. The bhakti rasa, the taste that comes from spiritual devotion, is a type of rasa which is never-ending. Not just never-ending, but ever-increasing. Now let me ask you a question. When you go out there in the world and tell people, sit someone down and say, look, can you understand material things are not really making you happy? Do you think many people would be able to understand that and relate to that? If you explain it to them, hey, look at your life, you know, you're trying for this and that, but no matter how many things you get, you're always looking for something more. They would kind of be able to connect to that, isn't it? Once I stopped a lady on book distribution, and I stopped her with a book, and I said, happiness doesn't come from acquisitions, material things, just buying more and more and more. And she's like, yeah, I totally agree. And then I looked down and she had like 6 bags. So I looked down. And she looked down and she realized, why am I doing this even if I know? So now let me ask you this question. Even though people know, and let's be honest, even though we know that material rasa doesn't bring happiness, why do we still do it? Why do we still pursue it? Why do we still put bucket loads of energy, time, effort into experiencing it, even when we know that it won't satisfy the heart? Anyone has a, I want to offer an answer? Why are we looking for mundane rasa? Yeah, huh? Yeah, it's immediate. You get some immediate pleasure from it. So there's an instant gratification. Yeah.
Peer pressure, so you see your friends or you see someone on social media has something, you want it for yourself. You want to show it to other people.
FOMO. Yeah. You're missing out. Yeah, because everyone else is doing like, oh, you miss out. Yeah, sure. Only for a while, huh? A long while. Right.
It's glamorous.
Glamorous. Yeah, it gets some attention. Yeah. Influenced by the modes. Yeah, so we're often pursuing that. We don't even know we're pursuing it because we're just so controlled by our own emotions or conditions, yeah. Not really experiencing any spiritual happiness. I'll end on that. Is that the answer? It's good, man. This is finally end up into the conclusion of it. Yeah. All of these answers were true. So many people in the world have exposed material rasa as incomplete, as imperfect, as something which is not going to ultimately satisfy you. But have they been able to give you something to replace it? If you don't have something to replace material rasa, will you be able to give it up? Even though you know it's rubbish, even though you know it's not going to make you happy, you will not be able to give it up. And that's why Rupa Goswami is such an important personality for us, because he is the Rasa Acharya. He is the one that is not just exposing material rasa for what it is, but he is also simultaneously giving you entrance, giving you a way and a means by which you can actually experience bhakti rasa. Because until and unless you experience bhakti rasa, you will not be able to give up material rasa, because the very innate quality of the spirit soul is to seek experience. And therefore, if we're all honest, sometimes we also slip back into material rasa. One time a devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya. Prabhupada said, you're always in Maya, and sometimes you fall into Krishna. So we know it, but until and unless we've experienced something better, we will not be able to give it up. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives us both things. He doesn't just tell you why material rasa is terrible, but he explains how to actually enter a higher quality of rasa. He explains something called rasa theology. PhD theses have been written on rasa theology. This is a unique contribution of Rupa Goswami, that he has actually taught the world how to taste the highest thing. But if you want to sum up rasa theology in one sentence, you could use this sentence. The taster tastes the taste because of good taste. Remember that one. It's not my composition. Some Lee Siegel. I have no idea who he is. But this sums up rasa theology. Can anyone tell me what do you get from that sentence? The taster tastes the taste because of good taste. What does that say to you? Anything jump out to you from that?
Yeah. That we're more driven by like experience rather than just having some sort of understanding. So like you said, we can have that understanding that material happiness and actually has happiness. But that doesn't push us as much as actually experiencing spiritual happiness.
Higher than an intellectual adjustment is an experiential impression within yourself.
Yeah.
The key line here is that the taster, we are the taster. The taste is bhakti ras. And we want to taste that bhakti ras. But how do we taste it? Only if we develop good taste. Sometimes you look at someone and say, that guy ain't got any taste. You know, sometimes devotees join the ashram and then they live in the ashram for like 10 years or 15 years, and then I'm not talking about anyone in particular, so I don't think of any names. And then they may leave the ashram and then they go out. And then when they go out, you know, like you can't walk around, you know, like this when you're in the world. So then they have to wear like normal clothes. But then when you see them sometimes, they just left the ashram and they're wearing normal clothes. But they're like clothes from like 15 years ago. Yo, bro, the times have moved on. Someone looking at it, no taste, man. Like, how is this person dressing? No taste. No taste. You can only taste bhakti ras if you have good taste. Someone say, I chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing to it. It's boring. Once we were in Harinam, this man stopped and he said, you guys, like, I love you guys, Hare Krishnas. You're always singing, you're always dancing, you're always happy. But don't you guys have any new songs? They can't understand. They can't understand. What is the rasa? What is the rasa you experience when you chant Hare Krishna? I can't know. What's to it? It's three words. Because they don't have good taste. And if we're honest, we also don't have completely good taste. No, yes. We have some taste, but we don't have good taste, completely good taste, perfect taste. Therefore, we're not completely experiencing rasa. So Rupa Goswami, the first thing he reveals about rasa is he explains, where do you get rasa from? You need to first understand that object that you have to connect with in order to experience rasa. So first he defines that there is a akila rasamrita murti. Murti means a form. Akila means unlimited. There is an unlimited form of rasa that you can connect with that will give you an incredible experience which is profoundly deep within the heart. And the akila rasamrita murti is Krishna. Krishna is that person who, if you connect with him, he will fulfill every single one of your desires. Therefore, Krishna has all of these names. Rasa Raj, Rasika Shekhar, Rasa Bihari, Rasa Vilas. The Upanishads explain Krishna as Raso Vesaha, the very reservoir of all rasa. So Krishna is a fascinating, enchanting, charming person. Once I was traveling in Nigeria and I was in a city called Benin, and I wasn't dressed like this, I was dressed normally. And I was walking in the market, and there was stopped at this one market store, and he was selling many things in Nigeria, the market seller. And then in the corner of everything he was selling, you know what I saw? Little Krishna DVDs. So I was like, wow, this is probably a devotee. It was an undercover devotee. He was preaching. Little Krishna DVDs there. So I took them a horrible. And he looked at me like, "Harry, what? What's going to do about me?" So I looked at him and I said, "What's that? What's that?" He goes, "That's Krishna, Krishna DVD." "But what's it about?" He wasn't a devotee. "But what's it about?" Because there's this kid. There's this kid. And he takes the lady up into the sky. He takes the lady on there. He's on the lady's lap and then he sucks her life out. And this kid, he goes up into the sky and then he pulls down the demon. I mean, he's giving me a full Bhagavad Gita. And then I said to him, "Who is it?" He said, "It's Krishna. It's Krishna." I said, "Who's Krishna?" He goes, "I don't know who Krishna is, but he's a bad man." Because he didn't crack the top bar of Krishna. He realized Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Son of God. He just appreciated it. Wow, Krishna is amazing. So somehow or other, he had just seen little Krishna on YouTube. And he thought, "This is amazing. People will be into this. So let me make some money from it as well." So he really ripped it from the thing. Krishna is the Akila, the song of the Murti. When you connect with Krishna, the complete fulfillment of rasa comes about. But who can experience that? Only a rasika bhakta. If you want to experience rasa, you have to become a rasika. Therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said, "Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamayayam, Aho, Mahur, Aho, Rasika, Bhuri Bhagavata." The Bhagavatam, drink it, drink it, drink the nectar of the Bhagavatam. But in order to do that, you have to become a Rasika. Otherwise, you'll open the Bhagavatam and you'll go to sleep. And what does it feel like for the Rasika Bhakta when he connects to the Rasa Vesaha? Rupa Goswami explains this. He explains what is the experience that a devotee will feel when they connect with Krishna. He explains all the symptoms he will go through, all the different ecstasies, all the different transformations in your being. He scientifically explains everything. We can explain that in more detail later on. But basically, I'll say it very quickly. He explains there are five components of rasa. The first thing is known as sthayi bhav. Don't worry, this is a little technical, but it's interesting. Sthayi bhav. Then he says there is vibhav. Then he says there is anubhav. Then he says there is sattvika bhav. And then he says there is vyavicharini bhav. So what does it all mean? Let me first give you a material example. Imagine there are many moms here. So imagine you see one of the moms looking at their child. Okay? So the mother has love. What is the sthayi bhav, the permanent situation of that mother? Is maternal love. Right? They have love for their child. So sthayi bhav. The mother has love for the child. The maternal love is known as the sthayi bhav. So similarly, each one of us have a relationship with Krishna and we have a sthayi bhav. Some of us may be friends of Krishna. Some of us may be servants of Krishna. Some may be parents of Krishna. So you have a sthayi bhav, a relationship of love. So imagine now you see a mother with a child. The sthayi bhav is maternal love. Okay? Then what happens is that there may be a vibhav. What's a vibhav? A stimulant. So imagine there's a mother and a child, and then the child is walking, and then the child trips over. Then immediately when the child trips over, that is a stimulant, because immediately many emotions start coming up in the mother.
He's a good mother. He's a bad mother.
So that's the vipava, it's a stimulant. So similarly, you have a relationship with Krishna, same for Krishna's friend. And then one day you see Krishna's peacock feather. And immediately, just by seeing Krishna's peacock feather, all these emotions come up. So that's vipava. And then there's anubhava. So the mother sees the child trips over, that's the vipava. And then when the mother sees the child trip over, then immediately she runs up, almost automatically, without even thinking, she runs up to the child and she embraces the child. This is known as an involuntary or a voluntary expression of her emotion. This is known as anubhava. And then she picks the child up and she hugs the child. And she sees that the child is slightly injured. So then she may begin crying. So this is known as sattvika bhava, an internal symptom of ecstasy that occurs in the relationship. And then there's vyabhicharini bhava. Imagine if she then hugs the child and then she feels the child is a little warm or has a fever, then immediately she feels, oh, maybe the child has a fever. So then she becomes overcome by the emotion of anxiety. And this is known as vyabhicharini bhava. So just like this, I just give you a small example, but just like this, when the rasika bhakta relates with the rasa vesaha Krishna, because they have good taste, all of these amazing emotions come about. And when these emotions come about, they fully satisfy the heart, and then you don't need to look for anything anywhere else. Now, the difficulty with us is we do all of these things, but we don't have any emotion. We fall asleep in japa. I was watching this one. The Hare Krishna temple is the only place where I've seen someone fall asleep while they're walking. I've seen a devotee going around Tulsi trying to jump on and fall asleep. Once a devotee, he was sleeping while he was, and then what happened is he was walking around Tulsi, he was very tired. And then I could see he was going to fall asleep. And then there was another devotee sitting on the end and by the wall. And he was also dozing off. So then this one came round. And somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, the one who was standing up fell asleep and fell on the other guy who was also asleep. So there was like, boom, like this. And then they both woke up. And then they both looked at each other like, Prabhu, you were sleeping! We don't have taste. We do japa, we read Bhagavatam, we become a little distracted. Even in kirtan, someone singing, you know. And then we're thinking like, okay, when's this guy going to wrap it up, you know? I need to get on the stage, you know? Because we are not rasika bhaktas, we don't have the good taste. Rupa Goswami has taught us where rasa can be found. He's taught us who can experience that rasa. And he's also taught us what that rasa tastes like when you experience it. But there's one more very, very important thing that Rupa Goswami has given. Can anyone guess? Probably more important than all of these things, there's one more thing that Rupa Goswami has taught. He's taught you where, who, and what. He's taught you also how. And this week, the theme for the retreat is unlocked And the whole idea of this week is we want to share with you the five keys that the Goswamis were given and that the Goswamis gave to the whole world, because these are the five keys which will help you to unlock rasa. Unlock rasa in such a way that you'll never go back to wanting to experience material rasa. This is a very, very famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to create the movement of Krishna consciousness so everyone could experience rasa, then he gave these five instructions to the Goswamis. What we talk about this week is based on these verses, so if you can, try to memorize these verses. They're very, very beautiful, and we can chant together if you chant line by line after me. Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prem Tatpera Nidhan.
Bhakta Bhakti Krishna Prem Tatpera Nidhan.
Krishna Vera Kritya Ara Vaishnava Achar.
Vaishnava Vera Kritya Ara Vaishnava Achar.
Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan.
Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan.
So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Goswamis, that if you want to create a movement so that generations to come will be able to experience the rasa of bhakti, then do these things. The first thing, bhakta bhakti krishna prem tatva anidhar. Write down the tattva, the knowledge, the insights, the philosophy of how Krishna consciousness works. So you have to write literature, he told them. You have to teach the world philosophy. You have to teach tattva. Tattva means truth. The second thing, Vaishnavera Kritya Ar Vaishnava Achara. The next thing you have to do is teach people how to act. Teach people how to be a good person. Teach people the qualities, the attitude, the mindset that will allow the knowledge to go deep within their heart. Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prem, Seva Pravartan. The next thing you have to do is create places and communities where people can serve Krishna, where people can do Seva. Because it is through Seva, service, that you will ultimately contact Krishna. Lupta Tirtha Udara. The next thing you should do is reveal to the world holy places, because it's these holy places. Tirtha means a holy place, but Tirtha literally means a bridge, because a holy place is a bridge which carries you from this reality to the eternal reality. And Vairagya Shikshan, teach people about renunciation. So, today we're talking about rasa, but there cannot be an unlocking of rasa unless you know tattva, unless you live with sadachar, unless you dedicate yourself to seva, unless you live in tirtha, in the holy place, and unless you're ready to let go vairagya. And if you do these five things, then you get rasa. And so what we do day by day is we'll begin to explore what does it mean, what are these five keys, and what does it mean to unlock rasa by having these five things. And so, just to summarize, today we talked about Krishna is the rasa raj. He's the king of all rasa, the embodiment of all taste, mellow. He's the person you want to connect with. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the rasa shraya. He came to this world, he is Krishna, but he came to this world as the bhakta avatar. And he explained how to be a devotee, how to experience this rasa. Prem ras viryas kare ashvadhan. He came to experience this rasa of prema, love. And what did Rupa Goswami do? He is the rasa acharya. He is the one that taught the world how they can also experience this love for Krishna. And all the devotees of Krishna are known as Rasa Patra. Patra means a cup. Every single devotee is a cup of rasa. Some of us have more rasa than others. Some of us have different types of rasa. Some of us express our rasa in different ways. But every single devotee is having some rasa. I always remember Rasa Bihari. You all know Rasa Bihari, right? And it's interesting, his name is Rasa Bihari because he definitely has a lot of rasa and he comes out in his dance moves. Have you ever seen Rasa Bihari dance? So everyone has rasa. And the devotees are valuable because they are cups of rasa. And sometimes if you come across a devotee who is overflowing with rasa, and you come in their proximity, then even though we may be dry, just because we're close to them, we begin feeling some drops of that rasa. Think like, wow, this is what I could experience. And so, that is what we're all here for. And this week we'll be talking about how to unlock rasa. Because this is essentially what the Goswamis came to do and came to give the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, again, Krishna Guru will be doing more talks and he'll go into the real philosophical aspects, not just light entertainment, to bring things, open up the topics. But what we're going to do now is 9:55. So should we go for 15 minutes? Is that okay? Was that too late? Just be honest.
Until 10 past.
Okay. We've got 15 minutes. So Ian Guru is... he's going to facilitate, and anyone, if you have questions, then he's going to allow you to field your questions, and he's just going to kind of bring it into, he's just going to bring it into some practicality, because we don't want to just talk philosophy here. We want to know, when you hear all of this, what's going on in your mind? What's going on in your thoughts? Does it sound practical? What does it all really mean in the real world? Yeah, so we're going to kind of try to bring it out like that.
Hare Krishna. So thanks so much, Dr. That was really, really amazing. A very nice introduction to understanding rasa and how we can, get to experience this. I guess the first question that comes to mind is, you know, we have different experiences whilst we're in Krishna consciousness or whilst we're engaging with all these activities. How do we know that our experiences in Krishna consciousness are spiritual rather than being material?
So when you're in a kirtan and you feel like tears coming from the eyes, hair standing on end, then you know you've got to do a COVID test. How do we know it's real? How do we know it's not something material? How do we know it's actually spiritual? Well, see, you don't go from material rasa to bhakti rasa overnight. It's not like one day you're in the world of mundane rasa and the next day you're leaping up in the world of bhakti rasa. In order to get to pure bhakti rasa, first you have to go through mixed bhakti rasa. So probably for most of us, our experience of anything in the spiritual life, whether it be kirtan or japa or reading Bhagavatam or whatever it may be, it is a mixed blessing. We are getting some spiritual taste because it's for Krishna, but maybe there's also some material taste that's kind of mixed in with it. Right? If you like kirtan only when certain singers are singing, then maybe it's not pure bhakti rasa. If you like to hear a lecture when certain speakers are speaking, maybe it's not completely pure hearing. If you like prasadam when Mitra Sen is cooking. But maybe not if I'm cooking.
That is material.
That is mixed. So when we ask ourselves, how pure is my experience, we can probably take it for granted that it's a mixed experience. But the way we will be able to understand that our experience of anything in spiritual life is more pure is when it becomes less and less dependent on external factors. And not only does it become less and less dependent on external factors, but the taste that you get from it is constantly increasing in quantity and quality. And so I guess that's how I would kind of understand that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's a very nice way to put it. Yes, it's going to be constantly increasing. For us, maybe in our practice, we have highs and lows. So there are times when, you know, we feel like it's increasing, it's growing, and there are times that like, it disappears. I don't know if you have any tips or anything you can let us know on how we can sustain that, you know, ever-increasing taste in our bhakti and not have to go through all those fluctuations that we might experience.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami mentions there's a journey that you go on from the first step in taking spiritual life to achieving pure love of Krishna. And he explains that the very middle point of that journey, there are 9 stages, and the very middle point of that journey is Nishtha. Yeah? Nishtha. Sta is a very, it's an interesting Sanskrit verb, Sanskrit few letters. Can someone name some English words that begin ST? Stop. Start.
Stand.
Stay.
Steady.
Stump. Study. Stationary. Kind of interesting. Yeah? Look at all the words. Look at all the words. Stand. Stationary. Stop. Steady, stressed. They all have a sense of to remain, isn't it? They all have a sense of to remain in one place. So Nishtha literally means when you develop a certain amount of purification where you're not fluctuating anymore because you're right there now. You have steadiness. But what Rupa Goswami explains is until you get to Nishtha, you will be Anishtita. Anishtita means the very opposite of Nishtha, which means unsteady. And he explains that there will be ups and downs until you achieve purification of the heart. But even though we will go through ups and downs, the ups and downs should be going on a higher level. You see, so like life will always be like this. Even if you go to a hospital and they put the thing on you and your lifeline is like this, then good news. Life means. So real life means it's always going up and down. But what will happen is your ups and downs will be on higher levels. So maybe today it was a bad day because you chanted 16 rounds, but the quality was not so good. That's a bad day for you. Maybe 5 years ago, a bad day for you was you didn't manage to chant any rounds at all. Right? So they're both bad days. They're both down, but one's at much higher. So you're still advancing, but there will be ups and downs.
And falling upwards. So we're falling.
Falling upwards. Yeah.
Thank you. The other question before I open it up.
There's a number of questions.
Okay.
Before we do this one, does anyone have live question?
There's one more question before we jump to that sound. So you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this strategy on how to give the whole world a taste of this rasa to Rupa Goswami. Now, Rupa Goswami practically gave up everything you know, he gave up his material designations. You know, he had so much money, he was in the government at the time. And he had to give all of that up to be in a position where to get that exchange with Mahaprabhu was possible. What does that mean for some of us who are here who might not be in the same mood as Krishna as Rupa Goswami? Do we have to give up everything to get to experience that? Or how is both our fate then in comparison to what Rupa Goswami does?
You have to give up your Tesla.
what to say? A spiritualist is not one who doesn't own anything. It means someone who's not owned by anything. That's the point. That, you know, in the time of the Goswamis, there were personalities who were like paupers. The Goswamis were like paupers. Tyaktva adurna mashesha mandala pati shenyam sadatu chavat. They threw away everything. They kicked off all aristocracy and they accepted loincloths. But then you have other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who had everything. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was like, he was in complete opulence, but just as great a devotee. So the idea is that we can. Rupa Goswami gave a type of vairagya, renunciation known as yukta vairagya. And we'll come to that because one of the principles is vairagya. So we'll be discussing this in more detail. But suffice it to say for today that you don't necessarily... Okay, let me rephrase it like this. Imagine you want to offer an apple to Krishna. So you go to the market and you buy an apple. Then there are certain parts of the apple which are so bad that you just need to cut them out. You can't offer that to Krishna. But there are other parts of the apple that if you put it under the tap and clean it, it'll be okay. So there are certain things in our life that we just need to say out. Right? Because they're just blocks. But there are many other things in our life that we don't necessarily need to give up, but we just need to redirect and purify. And then they can also be offered to Krishna. So it depends. So if you ask me, do I need to give stuff up to be Krishna conscious, my answer to you would be, what stuff am I talking about? Because it depends.
Anyone else have any questions that you would like to ask?
How do we gauge which of the nine stages we're at? And should we deliberately try to raise in a high stage?
So the first thing to understand when you see the nine stages is that they are not like linear, like you're from one to the next to the next to the next. Just like when the sun rises, even before you see the sun, you see the rays of the sun, isn't it? So when you're going on the nine processes of devotional service, even before you're at a certain stage, you may see signs of that stage. So what Rupa Goswami explains, and this is expanded by another teacher called Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that every stage has certain signs, has certain predominant qualities and symptoms. And if you look at the majority of your spiritual life and where the majority of your attention, consciousness, and energy is going, then you'll be able to understand which of these stages is most prominent in your life. And when most of us look at it, it will be clear, it will be one or two stages are there, which most of us are there. However, it's explained that the stages prior to that are still important. And the things after that are things you can still aspire for and begin to cultivate. So when you see the nine stages, you don't see it so much as a linear path, but more like you see here. It's one step building on another step, building on another step. Like that. And we're going to go deeper than that.
Anyone else have any questions? We're going to go to the anonymous question.
what's the best, like, most practical thing to do when you notice you're going into a down?
One of the most important, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha, Krishna Prema Janma Deho Pura Mukhya Anga. That the root cause of the awakening of your journey in spiritual life is association with devotees. And then is mentioned, Krishna Prema Janma Deho Puna Mukhya Anga. And even when you become advanced or you're progressing on that journey, association of devotees remains the Mukhya Anga, the most important thing. So, association of spiritually minded people and discussing with them and revealing one's heart and mind and asking for help or advice is probably the most important thing. If you feel like you're going on a down, or you know, things aren't going according to how you would like them to go, then you can always ask the devotees and they can give you some feedback. So I think that's the most important thing, that have relationships, good relationships, so there's always people who can help you to get back on a progressive path of spiritual life.
Now, probably we can conclude this question, which is anonymous. This person asks, up until we experience spiritual taste, or we are in that space, or we're in that spiritual rasa, how can we then maintain our material attachments and desires in a way that's healthy and not detrimental? Because there could be some guilt at times and a struggle to try to discard material desires whilst trying to progress in spiritual life. So how can they still dabble in the material field with a little bit more, in a much more healthy way?
The path of Krishna consciousness is not all or nothing. So it's not like you have to give up everything immediately. It's not like you have to be a pure devotee overnight, otherwise you're not going to make any progress. Krishna says, yayatha man prapadyante dhamstateva vajanyaha. As much as you give, that much you'll get back. So if you give more, then you'll get more back. If you give a little, then you'll get a little back. But even if you get a little back, what will happen is that you'll get the confidence that, oh, I got a little back by giving a little, so let me give a little more. One of our devotees used to be on the street distributing books, and his line was an Italian book distributor. So he used to give the book and say, people make a donation. Something is better than nothing. But more is better than something. Somehow we use this to work for me. Interesting. So something is better than nothing, but more is better than something. So even if you feel like I have so many material desires, I still got so many attachments I'm holding on to, step by step, one by one, bit by bit, start transforming your life. Once went past the church and there was a sign and it said, every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. So it's like that. No one became a pure devotee overnight. Of course, the Goswamis, these are all exceptional personalities, but for most of us it won't happen overnight. So step by step, and you just have to stay in the game. Stay in the game. Stay in the Krishna consciousness movement. And I'll end on one story. Once I was in Bangladesh, and you know, like sometimes in some of these countries, there's like a curfew if there's a political conflict going on, so there's a curfew. They just finished the Sunday feast, but there was a curfew, so no one could go back to where they were meant to go from. But these two devotees, they were book distributors, so they really wanted to go. And they thought, we'll be okay, because they had a Sankirtan van, a book distribution van, and it used to be like an ambulance. It was a, so they were in the process of converting it into a Sankirtan van, an ambulance. So they thought, anyway, it's alright, it's a curfew, no one's allowed to go on the street, but we're in an ambulance, so it'll be fine. And we just put the siren on and we'll drive. So one devotee got in the front, you know, they just had like a big feast, they were seeing the devotees, so then they left, and after the big feast, as they were leaving, they gave both of them garlands. So one devotee got in the front of the ambulance, and the other devotee got in the back of the ambulance. And then they started, he put the siren on, he started driving, bombing it. And then at one point, this is a true story, and at one point the police car came. So he pulls the ambulance over. He goes, where are you guys going, Mr. Kofi? He goes, no, it's an ambulance, it's an ambulance. He goes, what do you mean ambulance? What's the emergency? No, we're on an emergency. He goes, I want to see, open the back up. I want to see who's in the back. So they go in the front door, oh my God, what's going to happen now? So what happened is the guy in the back, he had just, you know, he had gone in the back and it was a big Sunday feast. So he had like, you know, 10 chapatis, like 5 bowls of sweet rice, like he just like whacked it in basically. So when he got in the back, he just conked out. So this guy comes into the back of the ambulance, you know, police guy checking, are these guys for real? So he opens the door, the policeman. And in the back, all he sees is a guy lying down like this, with a garland around him. So the one policeman, he looks at him and goes, that is a dead guy, isn't it? For real! He goes, get out here, go! So the lesson is, even if you overeat in Krishna consciousness, even if you're a little bit spaced out, even if whatever it may be, stay in the ambulance, stay in the caravan, stay in the association, because we may not be perfect, but we're part of a perfect movement. And so everything will be okay. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.
Okay, so now I'm just going to make some quick announcements. Basically, now we're going to our activity center, so a few things to mention.